I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This week, Shinnecock Hills Golf Club on Long Island, New York, plays host to the 126th U.S. Open.
And now the stage is clear for Wyndham Clark. Yeah! Who takes down all the stars in Los Angeles to win the United States Open.
This is a U.S. Open week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
It's an amazing golf course because wide fairways. The greens are pretty small. They can tuck the pins away in different little nooks and crannies.
And Brandon Sprague.
You'll love me saying this, but you do have to think about angles and you have to think about approaching these greens.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
Just pick it up.
U.S. Open Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour two. Dirt and Sprague all week. Just going to come back at 7.01 AM.
Damn it, brand man.
Bit of a lengthy open.
Come on, cut it down.
I didn't use all the drops he sent me for the opens. I cut it down.
I got takes to give.
I've been on the clock all day.
You've
ready
been
to
fantastic
go.
Today.
You're fire from the hip.
No arguments going? Whatsoever.
A loaded
there shouldn't be any
hour.
For you. You're heading out of town. You're getting out of here.
No, you're not.
Yeah,
no.
It doesn't matter. We can go 10 minutes over. It shouldn't bother you at all today.
Literally nothing can make
nothing
you mad today.
Nothing should make you mad today nope. whatsoever.
We might not break till 7:40, and you should just
no.
smile
whatever.
At the button.
Whatever you want to do. Not okay. even old balls joke. Nothing. Nothing can get to you today. You're jumping on a bird, and you're going to Italy.
Swag is off to Italy. We will talk about that trip. He'll be gone for quite some time, and I want to know. He can noodle on this and not get into it right now. How many times will he be on his work email during the trip?
Oh, yeah.
I think it'll be far more than he thinks because he can't quit us.
I want to know how many sporting events he's going to watch.
Yeah, from a European vantage.
I'm curious. Like, if you're going to Italy for 2 weeks, how many sports are you going to watch while you're there in the next 2 weeks?
He's kind of hitting a sweet spot of the soccer will be impossible to ignore because he's in Europe, but everything else, like, who kind of cares?
And you might actually watch more because it's later at night than it would because you're going to be active. Well, you're going to be doing stuff.
Like,
in the
will
middle
the
of the
Dodgers
day.
Slip from first to second? Is that what's going to happen in the span between when he leaves and comes back?
Well, problem with that is, like, if the Dodgers are at home playing at Dodger Stadium at 7 p.m. local time.
What's that, a 5 a.m.?
4 a.m.
4 a.m. start
time.
Yeah, you're not watching that.
I don't want to be up at 4
a.m. That ain't happening.
Well, if I'm up, I'm still up at 4 a.m.
That's going to be the vacation right there. A lot to go with here in the second hour. I want to start with kind of some odds and ends. It's June 17th. We still don't have a coach.
We do not have a coach.
Don't have a Giannis trade.
We don't have a Giannis trade.
Don't have a Giannis
either.
Trade.
What are we doing?
I don't know what's happening right now.
Who's TCB and nobody's taking care of business? Where are my people at?
Stanley Cup is over.
It's
Tommy
done.
Two Nichols. What are we doing?
When's their parade? I haven't seen the date on that. Do you guys know?
I haven't seen.
The Hurricanes parade. I'm assuming he'll be
the
there.
Coach hire parade.
Yeah. I mean, we would probably throw a parade. We would definitely do that.
Oh, my God. The parade.
I feel like we've thrown parades for second round picks.
Who would they hire to get us to throw a parade at at Pioneer Square? Who is it?
Ooh, Steve Kerr. If they hired Steve Kerr away.
It's got to be like a Spo or something, right?
Spolstra brought him home.
The hometown kid's coming back. He's got power.
There would definitely be something at Pioneer Square.
I think you're right.
I mean, we do it for draft picks. If you did it for a legendary coach, two of whom are considered some of the better in the history of the sport, yeah.
Well, I was happy for Blazer fans to go celebrate it last year. I found it quite odd, the Dame return one.
The Dame
Personally.
Return parade? Yeah.
Not that you're not happy, nor shouldn't you be happy, nor should the organization not celebrate it.
Right.
It's more like, you know, just 2 years ago, you left because this place sucked.
Right.
And they kind of forced your hand into that, and now it's like, I'm back!
Baby!
It's like, what? All right.
Welcome back. Daddy's home.
Dad moved back in with Mom? What's going on here? I thought they had girlfriends.
There was also the weird vibe of... It's a parade, well, not a parade, but they had a little tiny, you know, Pioneer Square thing, and then you had the press conference, but he wasn't going to play. That was the other, I think that was the bigger like downer for me of like, all right, you, I mean, it's a compelling story. I get it. It's cool. It's fun for fans. Like, I get the nostalgia of it. First game he plays is going to be awesome, but we're going through all this and it's going to be a long ways down the road until he puts a uniform on and plays in a game. We won't even get that until opening night next year, knocking on wood that he stays healthy throughout the offseason.
Yeah, poll question is up. Would Portland throw a Pioneer Courthouse Square rally if they hired Eric Spoelstra?
Yes. Yes, we would.
Yes or no?
I'm pretty sure we did for, did we not throw one for Young Hansen? Parade down Broadway for the Young Hansen man? I don't think we
did. I'm fairly confident we did.
I'm just joking, but it seems like a very Portland thing to do.
You're making me wonder now, and I'm Googling.
Who's our, if we sign Rui Hachimura with the mid-level exception, does he get one?
Well, I thought we got him in second-round picks.
Well, I mean, I'm not that bad of a trade anymore. I watched the playoffs. Guy's pretty good.
You can vote at Dirt and Sprague on that one. No, but, like, do you think one has to happen before the other? Can you get the Giannis trade before hiring a coach?
I mean, look,
Is there an order of operation here?
I'd imagine if you're Giannis, you would like to know who your coach would be in the event of a trade to Portland. Maybe he doesn't care. maybe it doesn't matter to him. I also don't really know how the relationships worked in Milwaukee with the last coach, but that seemed like from the outside looking in a bit of a dumpster fire. Guys getting brought in, guys getting fired, the wrong assistants being kept. Doc Rivers comes in, who was an analyst for them, and it just all of that seemed weird and dirty and not good, and it clearly didn't end well for them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like if I put myself in Giannis' shoes and the Blazers are going to try and get a little pressure there if you pull off that trade to get a contract extension done, like who am I going to play for? That seems like a relatively important thing to know.
Well, Giannis is in the headlines, and I have some things I want to tie kind of all together here. And Giannis is obviously a big talking point in the league. They want to trade him reportedly before the draft, which is just next week.
Yeah.
So that could be happening at any given moment between now and then. And he's been the subject of conversation for a couple franchises. Boston, Miami seem to be the two most popular talked about teams in regards to a trade, but there's sleeper teams out there. Some people wonder if Portland is going to stay involved in this, even if they can't get him to commit to a long-term extension right away. Mike Wilbon on Around the Horn had this take on Giannis.
I don't believe in Giannis anymore. Giannis is a rumor. Giannis hadn't done jack in the months that matter, which would be May and June, since 2021. 5 years is forever in professional sports. Giannis is a multiple-time MVP, a great player, a Hall of Famer, and as you said, a champion. He was that. Yeah. I ain't seen evidence of it. Sorry. A league can now, particularly the NBA, it can pass you by. And with a ton of wings who are 6'9", 6'10", sort of size, DeBanza and Caleb Wilson and those kids coming in the league, Giannis can look obsolete fairly quickly if he can't get his butt out there and contribute heavily, massively in May, June.
So I want to get your thoughts on past his prime. He's a rumor more than he is anything else.
The part of it that is frustrating for me, that I understand where some of the sentiment comes from, is it feels like this has been a never-ending, won't-die story for 3 years. Is Giannis going to be gone? Does he want out? And this is not all Giannis' fault. This is the way the NBA media market works, right? We dealt with this with Dame forever.
He has certainly not helped it, though, in the last year and a half. You could agree with that.
Not at all. And so that's the fatigue that is there. It's just like, dude, enough. Like, can we just get an answer on this thing already? I want to be traded. I don't want to be traded. I want to stay here. I don't want to stay here.
Yep.
I want an Eastern Conference team. I want a contending team. I wouldn't sign here. I wouldn't re-sign there. It just, I am eagerly aware. This is Brendan Sorsby level annoyance for me of the story has not changed. The players have not changed. We know the teams involved. We know the potential packages. Let's just get a deal done and move on and react to it. I'm not saying that he's old news and that he can't do it anymore, because I think we should understand and acknowledge in the NBA, you need pieces to help you win. Mm-hmm. And not everything is broken their way. This idea that he is a broken down player, I just don't fully buy into. So they won the title in 2021. They have now had five seasons since that championship. In those five seasons, he's played 67 games, 63 games, 73 games, 67 games, and then last year he played 36, but also
he
remember,
to play reportedly more.
He easily could have played close to 60 games by the end of the year, but they wanted to shut him down and tank because that's what they viewed as their right long-term plan, and I don't blame them at all for having that plan, and I don't blame him for being upset, but this idea that like he's fallen off, dude, 2 years ago he played 67 games, he averaged 30 points, 10.5 rebounds, and 9 assists a game.
Yeah.
Like he's
I think it's so because you haven't been in the mix. You go from winning a title to a one
I get
seed
it, man.
Losing to the eight.
Let's
and
also
Jimmy
follow
Butler
through
and...
on this. Of they make the trade for Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
The first year that they're together, they're a top 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. Giannis gets hurt at the start of the playoffs. They lose in the first round. The next year they come back together. And Dame pops his Achilles in the first round of the playoffs.
They never really had a lot
of
time.
And that was it. And then they buy out the contract. He's a free agent. He leaves. Yep. And they had nothing around him that was going to win anything this year. And so it's an organization that just got a little over their skis with moves, which I don't blame them for. They won the title. They chased after it a bit. They did not pan out. The Lillard trade was a disaster for them. And that's one of the main reasons why we're here. It's not because Giannis is not an elite player anymore. How many more years can he be at that level? I don't know. And that's a genuine question and debate that we can all have. But the idea is he's a has-been and can't do it anymore.
Right.
That's just not true.
Well, so here's the reason I bring this up. It's not just to get the take from Will Bond, who I just feel like 90% of his NBA stuff is curmudgeon-y and not good and nothing like it used to be. Like, I just don't – I like Mike Wilbon. He's one of my favorite media members. I love him and Kornheiser together.
Mm-hmm.
I have just felt for almost a decade that that guy just doesn't actually enjoy anything in regards to the sport of basketball since he retired and stopped covering Michael Jordan.
It's a bit of a vibe, yeah.
That's kind of the takeaway I have from him. It's more so for me to point out this. So, Tiago Splitter got hired by Chicago a couple days ago. We noted that on the show when it broke. And I was going through some reading stuff. Bulls fans have been really funny. I saw one Bulls podcast, a clip circulated of Tiago, and they said he took Scoot Henderson from the biggest bust in the draft to maybe the best value draft pick. some extreme kind of takeaway, and I'm like, really?
I'm glad we have that guy on our team, evidently. This is news to me.
Yeah, I guess.
After his 30-point outburst, the guy who got body bagged by a 19-year-old and then didn't score a point in Game 4?
Sure.
The guy who went 0-for?
Whatever you need to tell yourselves in Chicago to be out of the play-in, go ahead and do that. But they were talking about it. And one thing that I read was, and I think it was one of the people with the Bulls, was basically we hired him because he understands and sees our vision. And that really stuck with me. What is our vision?
We don't know yet because we don't know what we're going to do this offseason.
But right now, what do we know? We know Tom Dundon owns the team and he wants to win, right? We know that. Joe Cronin's the general manager, though he lost as one of his assistant GMs to the Dallas Mavericks and Schmitz. What's the vision? And it can't just be as simple as like, win, get better, duh. Like, there has to be, how are you building, when you're building, does it make sense how you're built? Like, there's a lot to that. It's a layered statement to make. And so they don't have a coach yet.
Nope.
I don't know what that coach, you know, that coach wants to be successful, but like, how does he envision being a successful coach, whoever that is? And then the Giannis thing. To me, when you look at the Blazers roster, I don't know what the clear-cut vision is. You can say it's build off of playoff season, Sprague, and I would say, well, yeah, I mean, that's fair to say. But what is it really with this current roster? It's unknowns of Shaden Scoot.
Mm-hmm.
It's unknowns of what the true ceiling of Donovan Klingon is.
Mm-hmm.
Has Tomani Kamara hit the ceiling of what he is as a player? That's not a bad thing, but I'm asking.
Right.
Drew Holiday's old. Dame's coming back. That's fun. He's also old off an Achilles. And Danny Avdia, right? And then that's you kind of look around and that's what you have. I don't know if Rob Will's back. There's reports that multiple teams are interested, and Portland's basically ready to lose him.
Yeah, why wouldn't they be interested? He had a great year.
So, like, I keep circling back to it probably is Boston or Miami. All the intel seems to be that.
Yeah.
But, dude, I just couldn't give a rip flat out if he comes over here non-committal on an extension. Give me the closest thing we can have to a magical, fun season.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't go your way because of injuries, I'm not faulting anybody.
No.
But vision is an interesting term to use with the new coach in Chicago who used to coach here. And I look at Portland right now.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of vision. You don't have a coach.
No.
You seem to try to be making a star player trade. Like, there is kind of no vision right now as we sit today.
I do also chuckle a little bit at the notion, and I know, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Chicago has cleared house with everybody front office-wise. Like,
they
it's a whole new group.
Yeah, they're
right?
starting all the way over. That's what their vision is.
To be fair, that's their
restarting.
Vision, but I just, whenever I hear Chicago and vision, I just chuckle because they've been the same team for 15 years. They've been,
fair point.
You know, outside of a Derrick Rose Eastern Conference Finals appearance, it's been 42-40, 41-41, 39-43.
But they interviewed the same guys we interviewed.
They did.
And they determined
they did.
That our guy is better than the guy we might hire. That's
yes.
The interesting thing is you're not only going to comp us to Chicago in the next couple years, even though Chicago might be bad the first year, but you're going to be watching to say, did we hire the wrong coach and let the wrong guy go? That's going to be part of the conversation here.
And
even if Chicago's not very good, which I would give you because they have the fourth pick of the draft,
right?
I still think...
And our first round pick, too.
As you're rebuilding, you can still say, we have a vision of how we get back to relevance, and they've at least identified that.
Yeah.
We're still in the process of establishing it.
I mean, I would say, it's a difficult question to answer because I think there's multiple layers to it. Like, your vision on how you get to where you want to go is certainly a topic, and then the idea of what you're trying to accomplish is another thing. And I think the organization told us last offseason what their vision is. What time is it time for? When Damian Lillard was introduced, what did they say?
It's time to win.
It's winning time.
Yeah.
The losing is over. The tanking is over. We didn't tank hard enough, and it bit us in the ass. Now we're pivoting to a 38-year-old backcourt off of our three tanking seasons where we drafted guards in the top 10. We have Drew Holiday, Damian Lillard. We're going to try and go land a big fish, whether it's Giannis this offseason or whether it's Anthony Davis or whether it's, you know, Kawhi Leonard randomly. I don't know who else would be available. Who else?
Zach Lowe randomly mentioned the Jaylen Brown Blazer tie of, like, does Portland – Does Boston and Milwaukee do a one-on-one trade where there's stuff and Jaylen Brown for Giannis, or does Portland get themselves involved and make it a three-team trade, or do they wait to make it a one-on-one trade with Milwaukee? He brought that up on his podcast.
Yeah, even if that trade goes down, you could then get the follow-up trade if it's not at the same time.
Because he brought up Portland, and he said, you know, Portland's going to probably try to get involved at a minimum because of the stuff they have that impacts Milwaukee. You noted yesterday on the show, and it's something we've highlighted for a few years now, who you do business with kind of speaks to your relationships, and you like doing business with people that you continue to go back to.
Boston and Milwaukee.
Ramona Shelburne just reported, I believe it was yesterday on NBA Today, they were asking, talking about Giannis destinations. And again, Boston, Miami seem at the forefront. She was like, Portland should be in this. Sam Quinn of CBS Sports, whatever you think of Sam Quinn, he lists Portland as a top three team to get Giannis. In fact, he says he thinks the only holdup for Portland's end is not getting the committed, I'll sign the extension thing from Giannis. He goes, otherwise, they are the best deal. They have all the picks.
Oh, without a
doubt.
They
give you the young player. They've got the salary filler with Jerami Grant. Milwaukee's not going to be in an immediate rush to be good. So it makes the most – look at Miami's package. It's actually embarrassingly bad.
It's Tyler Hero, Khalil Ware, and
– Jaime Jaquez,
and
Jovic,
a couple of picks.
And then, like, a couple picks. And I'm like, why would you want that? Now, if you got multiple teams and more stuff coming back, I get it. But if they wanted the Miami deal, they would have taken the Miami deal. So unless they're sorting out a multi-team trade where they get more than what Miami's giving them – I just don't know how feasible it is. And Sam Quinn's like, yo, if he agrees to the extension, Portland should win this.
Oh,
and I'm sitting here saying, to hell with the commitment. Bring him here. Let's lace him up and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
At least you're showing me how aggressive you want to be next year.
To that point on Kevin O'Connor, to your point on the trade and maybe a surprise team, Kevin O'Connor had a tweet yesterday that I thought was spot on in terms of the way we talk about this stuff. And you could throw Damian Lillard into this as well. Where we're talking so much about Boston and Miami being the landing spots. Where was Kawhi Leonard traded to?
Toronto.
Who had that on their bingo card?
Nobody. They
when
jumped
Paul George
into the
got moved in the middle of the
OKC.
Night to Oklahoma City.
Yep.
When Donovan Mitchell got traded, he was going to go
Cleveland.
To New York or Miami. He gets traded to Cleveland.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
We spent months debating the package of Miami and Lillard. And is that, you know, he wants to go to Miami. Do they have the package? And that was, it just never ended.
Right.
That storyline was tiring. He gets traded to Milwaukee
Dallas
randomly.
And Luka.
Like, yes.
Just trades happen in this league all the time.
Yes.
That you go, what?
That's where he went.
And
they
we
made
have to
move.
Wonder if we're being butt-cracked, if it's real, if it's AI. And it's like, that's kind of the way the league operates. And we've noted Portland operates in shadows, right? They don't talk a whole lot. But what we at least know is that it's been noisy enough to hear that Portland is absolutely willing or wanting to dive into this. Now, if you get Jaylen Brown, if you get Giannis, I don't know.
Right.
But I do think there's been a lot of smoke. And I don't want to be Charlie Brown here, but
kick the football.
Yeah, if you try to kick the football, I'm not upset if it gets pulled out from under. At least you're willing to dare.
I mean,
that's
our lifetime as fans, and you know what the hell, why not at this point? Yeah, to the idea of what the vision is and what they're trying to do, I think they're telling you based on their actions in the rumor market, in the trades, and what they said last offseason. It's winning. Like, our vision is to win. And the biggest question I have out of all of this, because I'd love to go to a place mentally where I could say Giannis is coming to Portland. I'm not going to do it to myself, but I don't blame anybody who wants to do it. Can't wait to, you know, wake up one day surprised that was the trade that went down. If the domino doesn't fall, and if Jaylen Brown is not a part of that original Giannis, like let's say the Miami package
wins
out.
I just don't know how he's not a part of the Boston trade.
Let's just say Giannis gets dealt to Miami, and that's okay. The move. They ended up, all right, fine, we'll take the Miami deal.
That crap deal, huh?
I think it's a horrible deal, but I'm just in the hypothetical world. My biggest question is then, what's plan B? And what's plan? Because we all know what plan A for Portland is. Plan A for Portland right now is Giannis. They're trying to get him. They want to get him.
Would you
They're
say Jaylen Brown is plan B or plan 1A?
I think it's a 1A. I think it's a
1A, 2A.
1A, 2. Yes, exactly.
And then AD is plan.
Is that what your next step is? Do you call? What are the Clippers doing this offseason? They have the fifth overall pick.
I mean, it's got to be in the order of operation of stuff. Maybe not in order, but like Giannis, Jaylen.
Yes.
AD.
Is AD ahead of Kawhi for you? Trying to get a Kawhi?
Is Kawhi realistic?
I don't know. I don't know what the Clippers' offseason plans are.
I don't either.
Because they
I'd
clearly
love to
need
Kawhi.
To start
I
over.
I wouldn't be mad about getting Kawhi. He's
they have a top five pick
from California every day to make it work. I don't really care.
Say, hey, we'll you know, we'll give you a couple of these Milwaukee picks. Here you go. This is how you restart your franchise. You get out of this, you know, Insperity nonsense, and you don't have to worry about. He's moved
they
on.
They got the fifth pick in the draft,
right? And so now you can build. They're going to get somebody good, likely at five.
Yeah.
Here's two Milwaukee.
Yeah, there's Acuff. You could just start over with Acuff and
there
Garland.
You go. There's your backcourt.
Now you got exciting backcourt.
Milwaukee picks in years to come. You can start building your. It's hard to know what other teams are looking to do and players they're willing to listen on. But that to me remains my biggest question. I think their vision is to win though. And that's, you know, we can joke about how we're going to judge the coaching hires. The reality is what I've always said, we will judge the coaching hires based on whose GM performs better. Because that's the coach that will win more games. Do we get Giannis Antetokounmpo this offseason? And does he stay healthy next year? We won the coaching hire because that guy will win more games than Tiago Splitter. Mark my words. If we whiff on all of them and our pivot's Anthony Davis and he plays 12 games and gets hurt in Chicago. Like,
or doesn't work out well with Klingon at
then
all.
Tiago might win Chicago might win the coaching hire because Tiago might win more games than us.
I'll think about
year.
How putting up that as a poll question. I think that's a really good way of viewing it. So just the latest on the Giannis intel, the trade chatter that's going on. We're pretty heavily involved. It feels good. It feels great to be involved in actual trade chatter from multiple media members. All right, a lot more to get into. Hour two rolls on. Dirt and Sprague 105.1 The Fan.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases. We'll follow it all, case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Good morning, hello to everybody out there, you sexy beasts, enjoying your morning commute. It's a beautiful hump day. I want to do a quick reminder that, yes, coming up next week is the Fan Golf Classic, the 12th annual, presented by Toyota. And although it's sold out, we still look forward to seeing everybody that did get their foursomes booked out on the course. And we want to remind you guys to try to be early next year if you missed your window. Organize your foursome now and just mentally set it on the calendar or actually put it on the calendar to register next year. A special thanks to the sponsors of this year's tournament. Victor Rico's will be serving breakfast burritos. Looking forward to that. Matt's Barbecue will be feeding us after the post rounds. We'll be hanging out on the sixth hole, Infamous Angels Envy Bourbon Par 3. And the Fan Golf Classic presented by Toyota, also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange Maestro, Dobell Tequila, Lorehurst Market Steakhouse and Butcher Shop, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, Illegal Mezcal, Pub Beer Cheap Fun, Apex Golf Club, and Window Nation.
Time to drop trial and hog out.
It's just 6 days away, man.
Next Tuesday.
Days.
We got back-to-back weeks with only four shows because we're off on Friday for Juneteenth, and then no shows on the day of the Fan Golf Classic because we'll be out at Langdon all day.
Why are we not taking Monday off?
You know, that's now that you think about it.
I didn't even think about it till you said that.
Yeah. Well, we also have the 4th of July right around the corner, too.
Yeah.
That is barreling down the tracks.
Well, the thing for me, too, is like nothing could happen next Monday. I don't want to miss if something does
happen. You don't
want
to miss the Giannis day.
The coach hire, the Giannis stuff.
So one of the funniest moments in the history of our show is Damian Lillard demanding a trade or getting traded? I think demanding the trade. And I was on a golf trip in Southern Oregon, and you decided to sleep until like 12:30 on the day that it happened.
Yeah, the day he has
the breaking news that Chris Haynes has requested a trade.
11:30.
The city's exploding. I'm down, hungover as hell, getting ready to go play 36 holes, trying to react to the news. And we were texting you like crazy, trying to hear back from you.
So many texts and missed calls.
You were nowhere to be found. Where are you? He was sleeping, man. Then wake up. That's where this one came from.
Bad news, Dirt. Bad news,
Dirt. Waking up at 11. Got a tea time in 30 minutes. Dirt, we got some bad news.
Would you care to know the odds of LeBron James's next team?
Ooh, I would love to. I actually had LeBron stuff in my notes today.
Oh, did you?
I find his offseason very interesting because I certainly understand the idea of, I am so entrenched in LA, I'm not going anywhere. We have Luka, we'll be competitive. Like, why would I rock the boat for one or two more years? While also finding it fascinating of like, man, seeing him in another jersey would be really cool. And as long as it's a team that I don't hate. So, but what are the odds? Who are the top five?
Well, I'll give you the odds. So he's really leaning into golf. Golf's been a big escape for him.
He was out playing with Kevin Love the other day.
Well, they're doing a 10th anniversary. I think they did a guy's trip. So it was J.R. Smith. It's Channing Frye. It's Kevin Love. It's him.
Channing Frye once played in the Fan Golf Classic.
He did.
Back in the day.
Still to this day, one of the more impressive drives was hole.
That guy's a big hitter.
Man, I can't remember what hole it was.
Four. I believe it's four at Langdon.
Where it has that side drop off.
It's a drivable par four.
And he drove the green.
I think he airmailed the green by 80 yards. It felt like. No, hole three is a par three.
That's right. It's the downhill par three. It is hole four.
Don't question my hole knowledge, okay? I'm an expert on holes.
Boy. You look real bad right now.
One is a straight par four along the driving range.
The dog leg left.
I'm going to give your scouting report for Langdon for the Fan Golf Classic. Right. Then you got the dog leg left where there's the hills up on the side, a slightly elevated green.
Yep.
Down the third is the downhill, my favorite par three on the course. Just a gorgeous hole.
About 127 yards hit.
About 127 downhill, right? You got to play the slow.
Yep.
I overlooked one.
Yeah, you overlooked one.
Two being one.
Well, when you say something is three, but it's actually four, you indeed did overlook one. That is the math. You are right on that.
It's a good math joke there. I'll allow it.
Here are the odds according to the DraftKings Sportsbook.
Yes.
You ready?
Give them to me.
Is Brendan ready? Sorsby, you ready? You got this? You're going to need your odds, buddy. The favorite to get LeBron James, the Lakers, minus 250.
Not a surprise.
The Warriors are plus 300. The Cavs are plus 600.
Mm-hmm.
The Spurs 15-1. Do you need a little seasoning with your youth?
Don't do it. The other three I'd be fine with.
Okay, that's your four.
Yeah.
Are you ready for the fifth?
I'm ready for five.
Your Portland Trailblazers.
Get right out of town.
No.
We have the fifth best odds.
We have the same odds as the Sixers, the Knicks, the Magic, the Bucks, the Heat.
How long shot of it is it? What are we
you know what? Actually, we're tied with about 90% of the league.
I think everybody's
the top four. We are tied.
There's probably a massive drop off too. None of these other teams will happen because I've heard the smoke around Golden State.
Why are the Timberwolves plus 5,000?
I don't know.
Why are they so significantly
down? Was that
down
one
from
of
where
the
we
cities he took a shot at in Bob Does Sports where he says, I don't want to.
He doesn't want to go to Minnesota.
Right, so he's not.
He doesn't want to go here.
No, he's not playing in Portland.
He wants to stay a Laker.
There are four realistic chances here. The four realistic chances.
I think
chances.
There's only two.
You think there's only two?
I do. I think if you were to press him, he would only say, there's two teams I want to play for.
Hmm.
It's not being anti-Cleveland. He just doesn't want to live in Cleveland anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
San Antonio, he literally just did a podcast with Steve Nash, and he said, there is nothing to do there.
San Antonio.
All you do is focus on basketball. There's nothing to do there. It's the Lakers or the Warriors to either play with Steph Curry at Golden State, or, as I mentioned last year, when everybody's like, he's done as a Laker, I don't know about that, man. If he takes a pay cut, knowing that they can add talent, he was really good this year. He'll have a healthy Luka next year. If they sign Reeves, I think if he agrees to a lesser contract, like a much lesser contract, I think ideally he'd love to stay a Laker and just end it there. And then also on the Lakers side, yeah, they want to win a title, also be part of one of the coolest victory tours, career tours of all time.
Yeah, you want the walk-off season because you're going to make a lot of money for it. There is a little part of me, though, that I think it'd be fun to see. Him and Steph have been such faces of the league for a long time, and I don't know if it's 1 year or 2 years, how long he would do it. Theoretically, you could do the helicopter from L.A. to the Bay Area every day to get to practice and games if you want. Don't even
That's
want
quite
to
a
move.
Flight, dude. That might have to be a PJ.
It's a bit. Get on your PJ. He's got enough money for it. But that there's a novelty there that I think would be pretty fun. But if I'm betting, I'm not going to bet on it because you're not making any money. My money would be on him staying in L.A. He's been there. It's weird
longest,
how long
it's
he's been
run.
There. It doesn't seem like it's that long, and I think part of that is the COVID, yeah. Bending our brains, if you will, and melting it. But him being there that long, having to uproot your family, he's got how old's his daughter now? Is she still in high school?
She's in high school. We're playing volleyball.
So she's in high school. The middle son is at Arizona, yeah. And then obviously oldest is with the Lakers. Are you uprooting everything for one more year, moving out, and then moving back to LA?
He's uprooting. They're staying.
Sure. If he decides to go somewhere else. But do you want to be away from your family for another year or two after everything that you put in? L.A. makes a lot of sense. They got Luka. As long as he's cool signing a fair contract for LeBron James at this point so you can go have a chance to win, then it would be L.A., more than likely.
What would you prefer? His last season.
I would prefer him to go to Golden State.
Because I think that's what's going to happen this summer. At some point, a dead period of the summer, we're just going to get a random, this is it.
Yeah.
And they're going to do the whole merch push and thank you commercials and all that. All that's going to start.
We already had that.
That's my prediction.
The last big farewell tour, unless there's another one I'm forgetting, that I remember vividly was Kobe. And that was, Laker nostalgia shoved down your throat for an entire year.
Yeah.
And I'd rather have Steph and LeBron go out like Thelma and Louise driving off the cliff.
You imagine if the Warriors are Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and LeBron James.
You imagine how good that team would have been in 2017?
I was going to say.
Could you imagine how unbeatable that team?
In 2027, I don't know about that team.
I'm also not going to joke about it because our backcourt peaked 7 years ago.
Our backcourt did? Yeah, well. Everybody has different timelines.
I'm not saying they can't be good. I'm certainly past their prime.
7 years, a long time. Dame was pretty good in Milwaukee.
He was fine.
It was good.
He was fine.
Drew was
maybe
pretty
five.
Good.
Maybe five. I'll
Drew
give you five.
Drew helped win a title in Boston.
I'll give you five. Didn't he come off the bench for that title?
Well, he was a mixed bag.
I will take New Orleans 6 seed sweeping us out of the first round, Drew Holiday, please.
Oh, that would be a great Drew
that
Holiday.
That Drew Holiday was pretty damn good.
Oh, we'd be a real
Not
threat.
That the other versions of Drew Holiday weren't good, and ours is still pretty solid.
That version, though.
That version.
Lethal.
Was dominant.
Yeah. I hate the Laker thing. I understood why he did it, but I've always hated it. I think I'd rather him just end it with the Lakers. I mean, I get the Steph Curry interest.
The best storyline would be going to Cleveland for a farewell. That would be the best storyline. I just don't think it's going to happen. Him going back to Cleveland for a year to do a farewell tour where it all started, where he won the title that mattered the most in his career, like that would be the coolest storyline that I would fully get behind. Because whether it's the Lakers or the Warriors, I hate both of those franchises. So there will be a level of like, ugh. But you appreciate LeBron and what he's meant for the league and how good of a player for how long he's been. It still blows my mind.
Will he actually have a good victory tour, or does he end up getting hurt at 42, 43
years
old?
That would suck, man. It would genuinely suck.
He just misses like 45 games. Yeah. It becomes like Brett Favre in the last year of the Vikings.
I don't know if that's on his brain or not, but if I were him, it would be on my mind of like, how many more years am I going to get away with this, being able to play 25 minutes, 30 minutes a night for a chunk of the season until one wrong fall, one wrong rolled ankle, and all of a sudden you miss 35 games and that farewell tour disappears. And then you're selling all those tickets at the start of the year to the markets where he's playing his last game, and then maybe he's not in the game, and then fans are upset. It becomes a whole kind of negative storyline.
Did we have one of the worst takes in NBA takes history? We'll get to that today. And I think it is. There's a lot of bad takes.
A lot of bad takes out there.
I think this is the one I might hate the most.
Ooh.
And it's from somebody I didn't expect it to come from.
It felt like a producer plant to me in that show.
He's not somebody that does that. I've consumed his content for a while. So we'll get to that today. Coming up next, what's in store? What is in store? We'll get to that. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. One of the worst basketball takes maybe to ever exist. We're getting back into some hoops. We have football on the show sheet today.
We do have football on the show sheet today.
Do we have football on the show sheet?
I do have. I have football on the show sheet today.
There was football stuff out there. I just didn't do it on my end.
It's one of my rules for the rest of the summer. Now that the NBA finals are done, sans a the day we trade for Giannis show. Every day I will give you your. I'll fill your hole.
Well, if you have an empty slot, I actually have some random college football thing I'd like to bring up, and it involves a local team.
You want to throw something at me?
I'll throw something at you.
I had devastating news yesterday for my local team. Not football.
You got a 5-star receiver.
Not that. One of my other programs. The only reason I had to watch.
One of your other programs?
Baseball. They lost their best player.
Come on. They could have not left and you wouldn't have cared until they got back to Omaha.
You're not wrong.
Or back to the Super Regionals.
Yeah, we've never been to Omaha. Easy there, buddy. Don't put the cart in front of the horse.
I did laugh when they
announced. Don't touch the Stanley Cup. We haven't won it yet.
Junior was hitting the portal.
Dude, he's the only guy that I wanted to watch.
CNLSU.
He's it. With a do not contact tag. Yeah, what school are you going to in the SEC?
Well, people are noting this because Oregon State's losing guys too.
Yeah.
They just lost their pitching coach to Florida. And I'll say this, I've had somebody tell me behind the scenes that the OSU baseball funding has not been in any way been able to keep up with the NIL portal world. Shocking, I know.
Is that not? Yeah.
But it's incredibly disappointing, and it just is a reminder note, don't be stunned if this is kind of what Oregon State is now, because if you can't keep up with the SEC.
Well, it's hitting us, too. We got all the money in the world, everybody tells me. We can't even keep our baseball players on the roster.
People are noting in college baseball, as we move closer and closer to the semis, the SEC is just buying players now, and they're buying players who they don't even have interest in playing. They're just like trying to poach the talent away from all these other programs. So Oregon's getting hit. Oregon State's getting hit. It's just it's kind of the nature of the beast in baseball.
I'm glad you brought up, though, the 5-star wide receiver, because it is funny. Fans will complain about this, and then what is the argument? You want NIL funds diverted away from football for baseball? Because there's not a Duck fan alive that answers yes to that question.
You're not wrong there.
Would you rather have all of your defensive line returning or Jackson Shellstad playing basketball next year?
Yeah.
You'd
rather have the defensive line?
Yeah. It's what we care about. It's what, you know.
So you think as an athletic, so it's interesting because your program gets really hit with, and has for some time, Phil Knight. It's easy. You got Phil Knight.
There's this idea that they have unlimited resources for everything, which is just not true.
I know, but
and anybody who pays attention can see that it's not true.
But the idea of it is always going to be there for people who don't root for the program. But
yes, the football team is as well-funded as any in the country. That is true.
But isn't it abundantly clear that that athletic administration has absolutely prioritized?
Yes.
It's football. And then it's like
everything else.
I mean, all of it is just basically
yes.
lumped.
And that's the way that
men's
I want.
Basketball hasn't been separated.
No.
Baseball has, you know, they had a good turnover in roster this year, but they're going to lose some of those guys. Like,
baseball's program has been solid. I'm sure they'll be fine again next year.
They have a good manager.
Yeah, they'll be all right.
Altman's had a really good run in Eugene. I don't know if this is going to be it for him, but
yeah.
I just think it's abundantly clear that it's football, and then, like, we'll just figure out the rest of everything else.
That's the way that it should be, because that's the way that fandom. Works inside, you know, Oregon athletics. It's football and then everything else. There are people who follow basketball closer than others, or baseball closer than others, or whatever, you know, track and field sport you want to throw. Football is what matters most, and it's the thing that earns you revenue. It's the thing that sells out stadiums every single weekend. Mm-hmm. It's the thing that's tied to a $40 million a year, you know, rights fees for your conference, playing games on Fox and CBS and all that, and NBC. So I have no issue with it whatsoever. I'm not going to complain about guys leaving. It's certainly devastating because you get to learn about these guys in the back half of the year when you start watching. You're like, who's this, you know, 6'5", 250 behemoth hitting tank jobs?
Yeah.
He's a lot of fun to watch. That'll be fun to see him, what he does next year. and these guys are all Bolton, they'll find a way to be competitive. But I'd much rather have the football team be fully funded than 80% funded and then having a better basketball and baseball program.
Well, so the thing about that is if you look at the top of college football, how many both sports do you get just in this sense? Football, basketball, men, right? If you're looking at
That's a great question.
So Ohio State.
No. Are they good? They haven't been good at basketball in a while. And
no.
Their baseball team blows.
I don't know if they've been good since
Odin?
No, D'Angelo.
Oh,
Russell.
Yeah.
They were pretty good kind of there at the end with Thad Mata. Yeah.
Miami's had some decent years in basketball.
Yeah, but Larinaga's left, gone. They have had no success. Indiana has quit.
They don't even try anymore. Rightfully so. He just won a national championship.
Right, so they've morphed. Michigan is pretty good at balancing, but their football program now is kind of trying to be on the come up.
Hit the skids a little bit.
Whereas Dusty May just won the national championship.
Texas Tech, honestly, might be your answer. Didn't they just go to a title in basketball a couple years ago?
Yeah. I think it was two seasons ago.
Bama's near probably the top of the list. Bama's near the top.
Bama's a good one with Nate Oates. Georgia doesn't have it.
Georgia had Anthony Edwards and they couldn't win.
See, you look at the top of the football teams and then you correlate how do they do just in men's basketball as an example, right? A revenue generator. It's not a whole lot of crossing over being really good. Like even USC, who we laugh and we joke about, USC is a stable football program who might be taking a step this year. What's their program? It's dog crap.
Yes, the basketball team has
not done
anything. I mean, they had the Mobleys a couple of years ago and went to like the Sweet 16, if I remember correctly.
What have they done since Mobleys
left? That's about it. Not like there's been deep tournament runs.
No.
And their baseball team was in the regional or super regional, and they lost as well. They went just as far as Oregon this year.
It's almost a surprise when you can get both to be good at the same time.
Yeah, these ones hurt, but it also is – I chuckle at it because I know that narrative exists around Oregon. Don't get me wrong. Oregon's football funding is – again, it's on par with the best in the sport, and I'm glad that that's the case. It's not the case for the other sports. It just simply isn't.
No,
we went through this with
Dane
Altman in basketball. They lost their two best players. He came out and said, you know, well, look, we're working within a budget. And the baseball team had a really fun run. It came to an end in Texas, unfortunately, in the Super Regional. But these two guys, like, that hurts. They were freshmen. Like, these are guys who were going to be around for another 2 or 3 years, hopefully, and build into first-round picks. And now they're gone. You got to kind of start over. Mm-hmm. But if you ask me to pick a pitching outfielder or, you know, Amari Washington back as a first-round caliber defensive tackle, I'm gonna take the D-tackle 10 times out of 10.
What's the kid that committed on McAfee yesterday? What's his name?
Oh, God.
The five-star
Grant,
receiver?
I think Grant is how you say it.
Is it Grant?
I think so.
Because I didn't see it live. I saw the video of him picking the Ducks.
Yes.
I did love McAfee noting that they try to put these hats on, and this kid has a sweet, huge afro.
He does. It didn't really
fit. It's all weird on his head.
Yeah, I think it's Dakota Garant is how you say it.
Dakota Garant.
I believe is how you pronounce the last name. Five-star wide receiver. Number one player in the state of Michigan. I think he lives about an hour outside of Ann Arbor. So that's a nice little swindle in Big Ten country, even with Kyle Whittingham being there.
Who would you Duck fans, poll question going up.
Who would you rather have?
Yeah. Is it Dakota?
Dakota Garant.
Okay, Dakota Garant.
I don't know if that's, don't quote me on the pronunciation, but I believe that's how you say it. But the spelling is G-U-E-R-R-A-N-T.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. Yeah. Or Junior...
Milwaukee.
That should be a poll question.
It's a little more challenging there because it's an unknown guy who might not turn into
but
something.
But you would still take a five-star receiver.
Yeah. I also think the message that it sends, too, of that used to be...
They're going to be loaded at that position.
When you look at Oregon historically, that has been the biggest weakness of their... Like, who of their... And even on championship teams, you got, like, DJ Davis as your number... Or Jeff Mayo, who was a hell of a player.
Right.
But this is a different era of Oregon football. They have now signed... Somebody had it yesterday. I think it's 5 years in a row they've signed a five-star wide receiver.
Well, and I'm not saying... Look, I know why some of these teams win. We all know the same thing, right? The trenches. I don't think it's a coincidence that Ohio State now is wide receiver U, and they're having LSU, right? Like, you go look at some of the programs.
The year they won the title, that wide receiver core, pretty good, pretty good.
It's the greatest. It's
when
the
Ohio
greatest
State won it 2 years ago.
Receiving room of all
good,
time.
Pretty good wide receivers.
At a college, like, yeah. I guess you could do Harrison Jr., JSN, and Egbuka.
Yeah.
Or would you do Chase
Jefferson, Who was he? Was it Neighbors on that team too, or was he? No, he would have been later than that.
I think Neighbors was a little.
Was it Brian Tom? They have one other guy. I feel like that was on that team that I'm just kind of blanking.
I don't know
on
if
right
Brian
now.
Thomas Jr. was in that room.
Yeah, I feel like there was a third though.
But like Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase on the were same teammates. Team. That's crazy.
That's your X and your Z.
Harrison Jr. and JSN being teammates is nuts to me.
So I'll take it, man. Give me a 5-star wide receiver, yes, please.
Loaded third hour of the program. We got more football to get into. And one of the worst basketball takes. It's the Status Story Wednesday, Hour 3 on The Fan.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.